The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. Unlimited broadband so you can download, upload and stream as much as you like.
Good morning, this is Ryan Tuberty. It is Thursday morning, the 25th of June 2020 at 3 minutes past nine. It is an absolutely beautiful morning in Dublin, Ireland. And I can tell you, Brian can tell you that it's going to get hotter and hotter and hotter and hotter. So lots of factor 50 on my shrone today, that's for sure. Be careful out there and safe swimming, safe travelling. Safe sunning, but at least sunshine. This is great. A great news story for those of us who are in a position to enjoy it. Soak it up. Say there might be rainy, thundery stuff happening later on in the afternoon. So I think the suggestion would be, if you're being a little bit lazy around the edges this morning, maybe pick it up a bit and get out. And if somebody's upstairs and you're saying, come on, if we don't get out now, it's going to be lashing rain by 2 o'clock. So out you go. Up and out and enjoy. Because Lord knows you deserve it, and that is the truth. I'm looking forward to going back to the cinema when they open. I'm a big cinema fan. You could give me all the new releases in the world and release them on streaming, and they do no justice to movies. The cinema was built. It's the big screen for a big screen experience. And it's more than just looking at wonderful acting and scripting and directing on the screen. It's the ceremony of carving out 2.5 hours of your day, hopefully an hour and 45 minutes, but films are too long anyway, and saying, that's me, I'm going into the cave of dreams. And I'm going to get popcorn and soft drinks, maybe a few jellies and pick and mix, as long as they're socially distanced jellies. And I'm going to take them and I'm going to find a seat. And I've always been a fan of social distancing in the cinema anyway. I like being as isolated as possible because I don't like people eating loudly or near me on their phones. I just, people are going, seem to lose all the run themselves in cinema. But this isn't what that's about. This isn't a rant about cinema etiquette. This is about the joy of cinema, the pleasure of the big screen. So they are going to be opening on Monday. Many of them will be. Many of them won't be. They're in two minds, some of them. But I want to support my local cinema. I hope we all do the same thing to keep them going and keep them open. And it'll be tricky for them to open in any meaningful way. But slowly but surely, the doors will all open. And we'll get to see films. There aren't an awful lot of films being released this summer because of the thing. So therefore, we can understand that entirely. But when they do open, let's all go and see a movie together. Wouldn't that be nice? Donald Clark, the movie guy for the Irish Times, saying that the government's recent announcement that cinemas could open from June 29th isn't expected to trigger a major return to normality because there's only a few cinemas or new films are coming out. Graham Spurling is the director of the Movies At franchise, and he'll be welcoming back guests from Monday. Classic titles and early 2020 releases are going to be put into. That's clever, you know, put in some classic. We'll get there. We'll go and watch them. Mark Anderson is director of the Omniplex Group, and said that they are doing a graduated reopening from Friday, 3rd of July, in Dublin, Cork, Galway, Limerick, Arklow and Wexford. So keep an eye on your websites. I noticed the artier ones, the Irish Film Institute, Lighthouse in Dublin and Palace in Galway, are not going to open until they're heading towards July 20th, according to this piece this morning. So they're looking at a minimum, limited to a maximum 50 people per screen. And that is a very low margin for ticket sales. I can understand why. But if they get busy, they'll just keep their heads above water. So it would be nice if you're planning a day out. A lot of you aren't going on holidays that you might have gone on, and you might be in a position to go to the cinema now in a way you mightn't have before. Get busy, head in there and escape from reality. That's a great, great thing to hear that they are opening. So hopefully we get that right. And in New Zealand, they've let James Cameron is allowed return with his 30-person crew to film Avatar, the sequel. With this, so they've said you can come back in because the project would ensure work for 400 locals. You know, New Zealand is not unlike Ireland, perfectly designed for filmmaking because it's so beautiful and offers such a variety of different types of locations. So they're going to let him in And another guy, a boxing promoter, is considering Auckland as a venue for an upcoming heavyweight title fight because it could be televised globally in front of a 60,000 person crowd. See, this is another uptick or a COVID bounce for countries that get it right, is that you'll become attractive to business, and this could also help the economy. As the chairman of a think tank in New Zealand said, we've got a new superpower, which is being COVID-free in a world infected with the virus. When you think of America, America is on its knees with this virus, and it's not getting any better. Looking at the news last night, the spikes in states around America, it's a mess. God help us. And it does make us look around. I felt looking around, despite concerns about different things, travel and so forth, I think we're doing all right. I think public transport obligatory mask wearing is key. I think it's a great decision and well done. And I hope that passes through all the hoops it needs to, because that's a good start. But anyway, just to say, New Zealand are receiving a lot of attention from businesses who are going to get busy there. We spoke to Pierce Brosnan on the Late Late Show a few weeks ago. And he was mentioning that he's in this new film called Eurovision Song Contest, The Story of Fire Saga. And this is a twofold interest for me, because obviously Pierce Brosnan's in it, and secondly, it's based in Iceland, which I'm now completely obsessed with, because the books by Ragnar Johansson that I'm reading, I've just started a five-part series that he's written that I am loving. But that's for another day. The Eurovision Song Contest, The Story of Fire Saga, is about two Icelandic hopefuls competing for the crown, even though Iceland has never won it. And they're saying in this piece today that the irony is that if the Eurovision had taken place this year, the favourites were Iceland. They were robbed. The song, which I have, I may even play later. It's there. Do you want to hear it later? Do you want to hear the Icelandic later? Later. Yeah, because my opening track this morning, I play it once a year, and today is the day. I drove in today going, yeah, I'll play that. But the second track, I could go to Iceland for that if you want to. Given that, so this film, it's Will Ferrell, who I love. He's also a Late Late alumnus, and a couple of times, lovely fella and funny man. And he is a self-confessed super fan, as they call it here in the correct context, using the word super, which is overused and really annoying me. He made sure to do the research, and he took a trip to the Eurovision. But that film drops, as I say, on Friday, which is quite interesting. My other favourite creatures in the world, the Muppets, are going to be featuring on Disney Plus. They have a trailer for The Muppets Now, the Muppets' first ever unscripted series. Holy smoke. Starring Kermit and Miss Piggy and the rest of the gang, performing improv and sketch comedy. I don't know how that's going to work, but I will be watching. And one last piece, this is to the smaller screen now. This is clever now. Monday, June 20th, this Monday, I'm going to the barber. I'm excited. I've told you this, that I think that this is symbolic of the end of this massive phase of this country's story in history. And as it turns out, it's also going to be the day the hairdressers and barbers open. And they're going to make a documentary on RT called First Cuts, which will capture the emotions that will take place in as stylists in Ireland see what their long-time customers have done with their hair in quarantine. This is clever. It's funny. As it happens, they're looking for you to get involved. If you're reopening your hairdresser or your barber, or you're getting your hair done for the first time in months this Monday, and you want to take part in this documentary, that could be great crack. You need to send an email. It's an easy email. It's to a brilliant producer who will look after you. So it's her name is Kathy Fox. So you need to email Kathy.Fox, F-O-X, at RTE.ie. That's Kathy with a K. Kathy.Fox at RTE.ie. Brief outline of your story, and you could feature in that documentary called First Cuts and how it all works out. And she's just a brilliant person, worked with her down through the years, and she will not let you down as she didn't me. So good luck with that. Kathy.Fox at RTE.ie. That's a lot of fun. Now, the musical version of the stories from the GPO, how maybe 200 people might have fit in the place, and actually about 7,000 people have stories about their granddads being there, which they weren't, has a music version in Ireland in the 1990s. And that was the Nirvana gig. Now, a lot of people will tell, just the kids listening, a lot of your parents will tell you they were at that gig. They weren't. They're liars. They're lying liars. And they're lying liars about a gig they weren't at. But they think they were at it. They've actually told the story jarred sometime, and now it's taken legs and they can't get out. They've fallen through the rabbit hole of Nirvana lies. So you ask them for the ticket stub, ask them for an old t-shirt even, ask them for some evidence, and you can be guaranteed there's none, okay, because they're lying. So the point of this story is from the Daily Star, the Irish Daily Star today, a ticket for a Nirvana gig in Dublin that never took place has sold at auction for just under €700. So if your lying parents can't produce the ticket, then you're €700 down as well. So they're depriving you of money and probably food as a result, and certainly a short break somewhere down the country. So that's, think about your parents and think of what sort of example they're leading when they're telling you about the Nirvana gig they didn't go to. Okay, just to let you know that. Cobain, of course, died 4 days before the gig, which was scheduled for April 8th, 1994 at the RDS, Simmons Court Pavilion. And the ticket, so that's, as I say, sold for €700, which would be a bit of interest. How are we doing with the COVID? Irish people are complying with public health guidelines. They're saying about 60% are, and that's down from 80%. So we're starting to slip, so say slippage. And about 50% say they're very or extremely concerned about the compliance of others. A quick word, though. I heard three separate stories of people being really rude and ignorant yesterday to other people in the supermarket, on the street, and out and about. If you're the type of person who likes and thinks it's cool to roar at someone else, you know, dial it down. You can always say, "Can I have a quick word?" There are ways around it, but shouting like a lunatic is not going to get stuff done. All right. And 40% of people said they've gained weight. Do you think you've put on a pound or two since the... Well, you're allowed. You should be having a COVID allowance of weight to be put on, because it's just such a weird time. Should be totally allowed. Women were more likely to report an increase in weight than men, bizarrely. And 80% said they'd reduced their expenditure. So they're saving more, which is good. But people over 70 are still extremely concerned for their health in April. I understand that. Or sorry, at the moment. I understand that entirely, because they've been, people over 70 have been told in no uncertain terms that you're at risk. And they're still at risk. And you're still at risk. And it's not an easy time. So I do get that completely. Staying on holiday. I keep worrying about people booking holidays abroad. I wish that they would just, for one summer, consider wearing the green jersey. I wish that for one summer they would consider their fellow Irish men and women who are struggling. I wish for one summer they could forego, a dip in the pool in Spain. Just for one summer, just say, look at this country. Look at the 12 pins. Look at Falcarra and Donegal, and look at Kenmare. And I could be here all day. Look at all this. This island is just tailor-made for a beautiful break. If you can do it, please do it, and support your own, and also lessen the risk of going away and coming back with this bloody thing. So I see in the Irish Examiner, a new initiative is encouraging Kerry people to holiday locally in an effort to save the country's tourist industry. So there are vouchers worth €100 being sent to 56,000 households in Kerry to encourage people to explore the far corners of Valencia or the cliffs of Ballybunion. I mean, these places are gorgeous. I actually posted on Instagram today a Wild Atlantic memory of skateboarding down the main street in Ballybunion. I think I had an ice cream in my hand at one stage, but it was, we had such all these places. Just when we stayed with Jerry in beautiful Port McGee before we head out to the Skelligs, gosh, such lovely memories of the tour. So where would you be is the question. But well done to the Kerry Tourism Industry Federation for sending out the vouchers. That's clever. And they want to resurrect the old practice where people from South Kerry holidayed in Ballybunion, and people from Listowel and Tralee went to Killarney and Kenmare. That makes great sense. And everyone seems to be getting on the bus there. So well done. That's a great thing to do. Congratulations to Mr. John Coleman, who scooped the Concierge of the Year Award for Munster and Ireland at the Irish Hotel Awards 2020. He is the legendary doorman at Cork's historic Metropole Hotel. Another beautiful a landmark in Cork. So well done to him. They're opening their doors on July 13th. The front of house in the hotel, or indeed, like, we're blessed, and I mean that, I'm not trying to pull them off, my colleagues in the reception around here in RT, but it's true, they're brilliant. The front of house in any organisation is key. And if I'm in a hotel and I'm checking in, I will always try and find the doer, because there could be four people And I'm talking about in anywhere in the world or in Ireland, there'll be four people and the three of them would be looking possibly at their shoes or doing something else. There'll always be one who's always doing, who's always looking around, always trying to fix things. And that's the person I try to latch onto if I can to get stuff done. Who's getting stuff done? Here's a business opening in Ireland today from Anna Geeran. And she sent us four pairs of socks. And one pair of socks had the 12 pins in Connemara. Another pair had Glendalough. And then there was Dingle. And they're gorgeous. And her company is called SockCoop.com. And a small Irish design company based in Dublin. And they're launching their website on June 21st. So that's not quite today. But they're up and running. And they have a 360 degree design from cuff to toe. On the sock, design paying homage to places like Dingle and Blarney and Dublin and Cork. And they went into the detail and design and crafting to get it just right. So it's a lovely idea. And they're chemical-free socks, which is great. And the owner, Anna, she went to the Skellig Islands. And when she arrived back on Terra Firma, wanted to purchase a beautiful memento to mark the epic adventure, she realised that a design dilemma had presented itself when she couldn't find anything she loved. So she went ahead and did the sock thing, and now you can buy them. Nice gift if you want to send somebody a piece of Ireland abroad because they can't travel. You go to sockcoop.com. So well done to Anna. I don't know who she is, but sent them in, and it's a new business, and we wish her and her friends and colleagues the very best in that. Lads, what's the story with Luke Kelly and his statue? Why is everyone giving his statues a hard time? I don't understand. Am I missing a subplot to this? Why are they at his statue? I know the other statues are, there's Nazis and slave owners and everything getting the grief, but I can't think of why Luke Kelly is getting in the neck, the face, the beard and everywhere else. I see an email to say, they should put that statue in O'Donoghue's bar indoors and he'd be safe there as he spent many of the evening there. Not unlike myself, except that he brought talent to the table. But it's not a bad idea. It could sit there in the outdoor, the yard there, the laneway. Wouldn't be a bad idea. Thanks to my old pal, Aina Brophy, who you'll know from, it was a great journo down in the Irish Press, Sunday Press, and indeed he worked with us here at one point. And Sunday Press, yeah. And he says, your mentions of James Cagney and Shake Hands with the Devil reminded me of a great yarn I heard from Cyril Cusack. And it's from another film made in Ireland at the time, produced by Lord Killannon. And this is crucial. It was set in Galway in 1921. Cyril Cusack was among its cast of many Irish actors. It was a three-parter, and its third part was called simply 1921, and involved a scene set outside Galway prison, filmed in Limerick, in which an IRA member was awaiting execution. And here's the story Cyril Cusack told me. As the time draws closer for the execution of the prisoner Sean Curran, played by Donald Donnelly, the film director gives the signal for a large crowd of women in black shawls, accompanied by some nuns, to start parading outside the walls of the prison, lamenting and praying loudly. They are being carefully watched by a few truckloads of tough, heavily armed black and tans. The women take out their beads and start to recite the rosary, Hail Mary, full of grace, Lord of thee, blessed art thou amongst women, upon which, to the utter consternation of the director, there arose from all the tans in the truck the devout response, Holy Mary, Mother God, pray for us. They couldn't help themselves. They couldn't help themselves. Good Connemara men, the lot of them, says Aina. Oh, it's so nice to hear from you. Always got have a good tale to tell. 51551 is the text number. Can you please start a campaign to outlaw the word staycation? It says, Michael, I love holidaying in Ireland, particularly West Cork, Kerry, Clare, Galway. However, any hotel using that word in its PR or adverts is crossed off my list. What's wrong with saying holiday in Kerry? Do I have a problem with staycation? Not really. I have a problem with journey. That doesn't involve moving. I have a problem with reaching out. Really. Now, that really gets... I reached out. You know, you contacted them. Why would you? You reached out. I agree with cinemas are great, but time to ban phones from cinemas. We've been saying that for 1,000 years, Graham. Now, in fairness, they drive everyone mad and they shouldn't be. Yeah, should hand them in before you get in. In my youth, the Saturday matinee movie experienced lasted at least 3.5 hours with the B movie first and then the Folly Your Opera and finally the latest blockbuster. As the dubs say, them was the days to be sure. Keeping the Icelandic theme, please play that Eurovision entry. You will love it. Amazing tune and video. Thank you. PJG, I appreciate that, and it may well happen. Iceland is awful. What? This is the first negative Iceland text we've received. That's new. Larry says, Iceland is awful. I was there twice, both really disappointing. It was too expensive, boring. Nothing great to see, very dull. Please don't go there. Now I want to go there to prove you're wrong. I think you can find fun anywhere, can't you? Like, no, with the right company and the right buzz, you can do anything, anywhere, and not be bored. Yes, yes, yes. Please play the Icelandic entry, says a text. It's a good one from Kay, out walking in the sunshine in Kilkenny, beautiful part of the world. All right, we'll play it, but not now, because it's sunny now, so we're playing this. Hot town, summer in the city. We'll saunter down some street in the East Village now, and a few beers, about 5 o'clock, would be nice to listen to that Love and Spoonful tune. I love that. Great pictures of James Cagney filming in Ireland. Thank you, Peter, who sent these by email. They're from a, they would seem they're from a book called Filmmaking in Bray. Yeah, or at least that's one of the chapters. But you just showed some of the films there that they made, and there's Cagney learning to dance there with somebody playing the piano. Julia Gray is playing the piano, and she's the woman in the fish shop that you were telling me about. Okay, great. And Noel Purcell and himself having the crack. And there's an actress called Dana Winter, as they tend to call them, Dana Winter, hanging out together. I have great time this morning for Katie Price, formerly known as Jordan, the model. She's going to appear in the UK before MPs next Thursday. This is for a second time to tell them about online abuse. And this is impressive because she's taking a complete stand on this. She has a son called Harvey. And Harvey is blind and has a huge range of health problems that hamper his speech, among other things. And her son has been targeted by horrible people online who have given him the most awful time. So she wants to a new law in the UK. She dubs it Harvey's Law. She wants this created to make online trolling a specific criminal offence. She speaks great sense, and here she is talking outside those hearings.
He set this up because I've got 5 children and everyone seems to pick on my child, you know, the colour of his skin, he's got complex disabilities, you know, he can't speak for himself. And it got that bad that I got 2 people arrested by the police. The police took it as far as they could take it, and they were embarrassed because there's nothing in place to charge them with, and they had to let them go. There needs to be more security in place for all these online social sites.
Yeah, and as she says, the police, their hands are strong. Most of the online sites themselves won't take stuff down, or they do when it's too late. They don't have any sense of responsibility, although I think they're working on it. But it's a slow walk. They've been there around long enough and watched on as children are trolled, which is despicable. And as are, of course, the human pigs that would do such a thing. 51551 is the text number. I'm with you on the journey thing, says Alan in Cork. I know, but look, there's no point at this stage. It's in now. It's deep. It's embedded. I just have to live with it, the J-bomb. But what about from the get-go? Well, I don't mind that. Are we okay from the get-go? Is that right? I don't mind that. He says it should be start or beginning, although I've heard you say from the get-go. And I love your work. Oh, I love your work too, Alan, because we're journey brothers in arms, but we won't fall out over the from the get-go thing. I don't have the same dislike of it. Aileen O'Connor was on. I went to Iceland twice. Fabulous. Fantastic. Awesome. And I could feel the power of volcanic energy. I read there. Right, okay. Phew. I thought we were talking about geology there. I read their their lore before I went. Yeah, they have some lore there, and I'm not joking. They have it, and that pervades their modern literature too, by all accounts. The Kerry Initiative is great. However, as a Kerry woman, your pronunciation of Valencia is a little off. It's Valencia. Oh, I'm sorry, and not pronounced like the Spanish town. Thank you for that. That's quite a polite way of saying your pronunciation a little off, as opposed to going, "You're stupid." Valencia. Sorry, thank you. And I was in Valencia. And I had a great time, I thank you. And elsewhere, my 21st was on the 8th of April, 1994. I was asked if I wanted a Nirvana ticket, but I refused, assuming I'd see them again and that I'd be off partying that night. Kicking myself now, Dave says. There is a thing, the kind of sliding door factor, isn't there, where you go, ah, sure, I'll see them again. Ah, sure, it'll be grand. Sometimes you just have to go, I'm going to do it. Less faff, more action.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.
Yes. Now, good morning to you. I hope you're where I am. Fiona says, I can't wait for the cinema to open again. It's perfect escapism. Thanks. You're welcome, Fiona, and thanks for your kind words. Eamon says, listening to the interview, the National Gallery And in my case, I taught art for most of my life and enjoyed it. I often brought students to the gallery and it was a great experience for them. No question about it. And Kieran Ryan was saying we send the Beano to our nephew Tom Corcoran in The Hague every few weeks. He loves to read. He's going to be 10 on July 18th. So we'll send a shoebox of goodies to him, short. A shoebox of goodies. Pure Blighton, that. So lucky boy. That'll be great fun. Every Wednesday, says Thomas Bone, is Beano Day to my 10-year-old son, Tig. And Beano is still going strong after 80 years. What a lovely thing to see. And Eve is reading her dad's comics that he got in 1977. They're called Crazy with a K. I love them. They're great. Good on you, Eve. Keep writing. The point I was making, of course, being that read comics. It's a great thing to read. Just read anything. But don't be snobbish about it. Just because you're not reading a book and you're reading a comic doesn't mean the comics aren't great. And don't forget, graphic novels are excellent gateways into reading as well, for because they cover history and politics and more fun things than that as well. You're loving the idea of an exhibition of comics and comic art, and I love that. What a great idea. Well done. Keep pushing for that one, please. Yeah, of course I will. I just love the notion of the gallery with all that beautiful, all those masterpieces, and then being shared with space with these great cartoons that kept us going for our childhoods. Fabulous accent, says a text. He was a lovely man and makes me homesick for Kerry, says a text. Well, that'll be next week. Beautiful piece. He's a sound man. Any Hotspur comics in the list? We'll put them in the exhibition. We'll ask them. It was RTV back in the day. Says Joan in Kilkenny. Good morning, Joan. And one last one. Owen is my dad. Oh, this is for, he mentioned his daughter, Evie. Owen is my dad. And I really enjoyed that segment on comics and to hear him speaking about it. He's a phenomenal man. And to hear him speak about comics so passionately makes me feel proud and happy for him. So thanks for having him on. And I hope everyone enjoyed reminiscing about comics that we all loved so much. We sure did. And your dad and yourself, you're lucky to have each other. I can tell that. Let me say hello to Deborah, who I bumped into. She's from the Kinsale Bay Food Company, and her colleagues got on to say, "Believe you met Deborah?" I did, and she was great fun, and it was a pleasure to meet her. And I met her in the supermarket the other day, and great crack. And hope you're all doing well in beautiful Kinsale. And to Iceland now, and this was the Eurovision entry for Iceland in 2020. This was the one that was meant to win the whole thing. I remember reading about it, but I haven't heard it, so I'm taking a bit of a leap into the musical dark here. So take my hand and let's jump together. 3, 2, 1. Well, that would have been a most unlikely win for Eurovision Song Contest. Not remotely camp, and kind of with it, if you'll excuse the ancient expression. That's called Think About Things, and poor old Iceland didn't happen for them this year because the Eurovision was cancelled. That's Daði Freyr, the band. Like that. Actually, like that a lot. They've confirmed a show at Dublin's Olympia Theatre. How about that? If you want to go and see them, April 4th, 2021, when the restrictions will be distant memory. Let me highlight the incredible work that a couple from Louth and the great people of Ireland, once again, we've achieved in a fundraising for Breast Cancer Ireland. Well done to Niall Carroll and Cara McAdams. 100 kilometres in 30 days. It's a great initiative. It was a challenge for Breast Cancer Ireland. Raised a phenomenal amount of money in a very short space of time. In just a few weeks, they raised 1 million euro. So well done. Just again, the knockout generation, decency and donations. Cara herself was diagnosed with breast cancer in December. They had only got married in June 2019 with two children. Jack is 4, Laura's 2. 6 months later, following treatment, Cara is well on her way to full recovery. It's a good news story despite everything. Great care from Beaumont, Bon Secours and Hermitage Hospitals. And she wanted to give something back. So they came up with this 100K in 30 days campaign. So congratulations to them on that great result. Registration still very much open. It's not too late to get involved. So 100K in 30 days.ie. What a wonderful interview with that wonderful man. Easy to know, he's a Kerry man. I'll get my Tina annual out, which is about 46 years old, says a Kerry woman listener. I have a wonderful memory of getting annuals and I would love an exhibition as a teacher. I'll bring the kids. It's a great idea. Now, loving hearing our colleague Owen O'Sullivan on the show this morning. This is from the National Gallery. There's a photo of the National Gallery on the Twitter page for the National Gallery of Owen with his favourite picture that he mentioned, which is the Sisley painting, Canal du Loing at Saint-Mamé. And that is that's a Twitter account I'd say worth following. That's culturally enriching, I have no doubt, from the National Gallery. That's where we're going to leave it. It's 10 o'clock. Stay tuned for Sarah McInerney. Thanks for all your contributions today. Mind yourselves. We'll see you tomorrow.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.